Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tian Yu. Coming up in this edition, an Israeli delegation has arrived in Qatar for another round of talks on a ceasefire in Gaza. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the needs of his country's armed forces are quite obvious. And the UN chief says nuclear weapons endanger global peace and security. We begin with the Middle East. A delegation led by the chief of Israel's intelligence agency, Mossad, has arrived in Qatar for another round of negotiations on the release of hostages and a ceasefire in Gaza. Israeli officials say the talks could take at least 2 weeks. Meanwhile, Israeli troops say they've raided the compound of Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital and killed over 20 gunmen. At the UN, Secretary General Antonio Guterres has called on Israeli authorities to ensure complete and unfettered access for humanitarian goods throughout Gaza. A report by the UN Food Agency says famine is imminent in northern Gaza, where 70% of the remaining population is experiencing catastrophic hunger. Noor Harazin has more from Rafah.
We are witnessing it. We are living it. I mean, I myself have evacuated here to southern Gaza, to Rafah, around 2 months ago. And even though most of the humanitarian aid is being allowed to the city of Rafah, however, we ourselves are feeling this Israeli war of starvation on the Palestinian people. And the reason why is because there is very little aid that is being allowed to the Gaza Strip. Also, the type of food is actually not healthy. For over than 2 months now, we have been feeding on canned meat and canned beans, which also resulted in a big number of diseases and infections. And this is happening in Rafah. So you can imagine how the situation is in northern Gaza. I mean, if we calculated the number of humanitarian aid trucks that were allowed in northern Gaza over the past 3 months, we are only talking about tens of humanitarian aid trucks. So it is not enough for more than 600,000 people who are still living in the north. At the same time, it is not safe in the north to get access to the humanitarian aid. It is not safe to distribute the humanitarian aid. And this is because the continuous Israeli attacks on the points and where Palestinians usually go and wait for the humanitarian aid to enter northern Gaza, like the Al-Rashid Street and also Salah al-Din Street, where dozens of people were killed by the Israeli gunfire while they were waiting for the aid.
That was Noor Harazin reporting on the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza. EU Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell says Israel is provoking famine in Gaza and using starvation as a weapon of war. Israel's foreign minister has rejected the accusations. Stuart Smith has more from Brussels.
Accusing Israel of using it as part of its military operation, using that hunger. His point he's making is that this is a man-made, a created disaster, one which could be resolved through diplomacy pretty simply if Israel was willing to open the border to those trucks waiting with reportedly months' worth of food ready to go into Gaza.
I'm coming from Washington and I dare to say, well, yes, Israel is provoking famine. Starvation is used as a weapon of war, yes. Starvation is used as a weapon of war. Let's say that.
He's also talking about this. Gaza is now, by one measure, in a worse situation than all of the famines they've ever looked at since 2004, putting it past situations like those observed in Somalia and Sudan, with the amount of people in Gaza at the highest level of risk of starvation now breaking all of their previous records. And one of the things this report emphasized was that this is not something like caused by an earthquake or a flood. It's something that could be resolved. So EU foreign ministers trying to work out if there's anything they can do to put leverage on Israel to try to get aid into Gaza.
That was Stuart Smith reporting from Brussels. Turning to the Russia-Ukraine conflict, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the needs of his country's armed forces are quite obvious. He made the remarks while meeting U.S. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on Monday. Around $48 billion worth of aid is being held up at the U.S. Congress. Ukraine desperately needs support, which would provide aid, including artillery shells and air defense systems. Megumi Lim has more from Kyiv.
Right now, Ukrainian forces are not carrying out any counteroffensive operations. The focus is still to try to keep the front lines stabilized, especially after Ukrainian forces retreated from the eastern city of Avdiivka last month. They're still trying to get into their new defensive positions. They're still trying to strengthen their defensive lines and build more fortifications. And this is all happening as they continue to face critical shortages of weapons and ammunition. And so the strategy that was announced earlier this year, which is to go into a more defensive posture as Ukraine tries to ramp up its domestic productions of weapons and ammunition this year, and also as it waits for the badly needed weapons and ammunitions deliveries from its Western partners, especially from the United States. As we know, the $60 billion funding bill remains stuck in Congress. Zelensky did mention that Ukraine is indeed planning a new counteroffensive sometime this year, but the reality is that it is very difficult to strategize and plan ahead when there are indeed, again, ongoing shortages that Ukrainian forces are facing. There are also still uncertainties surrounding when these weapons deliveries will arrive. And also with Russian President Vladimir Putin's big election win yesterday, Ukraine is expecting Russia to possibly mobilize more troops and also to mount a renewed offensive in the coming months.
That was Megumi Lim reporting from the Ukrainian capital. In Moscow, Russian President Vladimir Putin says Russia plans to create a buffer zone inside Ukraine's border to help protect against long-range strikes and cross-border raids. He spoke about his country's evolving strategy for its ongoing conflict with Ukraine. Putin also warned the West against deploying troops there, saying such a move would put the world a step away from World War III. His remarks came on the heels of his landslide re-election victory. The conflict is entering its third year along with ongoing Western sanctions against Russia. Mikhail Bardovin has more from Moscow.
Russia's special military operation in Ukraine is now in its third year. Sanctions imposed by Western countries, including the US, UK, and EU, have made it the most sanctioned country in the world. But on Sunday, the chair of the Central Election Commission in Moscow declared Vladimir Putin had achieved a record-breaking landslide victory in presidential elections. In his speech, Putin appeared resolute and defiant.
No matter how hard anyone tries to intimidate us, whoever tries to suppress us, our will, our consciousness, no one has ever managed to have done such a thing in history, and it won't happen now, and it won't happen in the future. Never.
Western sanctions have impacted many industries where imports have been banned and supply chains have been disrupted. Hundreds of brands, including fast food chains, automakers, and banks, have pulled out of Russia. But Moscow has combined several strategies to combat sanctions, such as import substitution and the strengthening of partnerships with allies such as China and Turkey. Some locals say they hardly feel the impact of sanctions on their everyday lives.
Well, you know, I didn't seem to even notice it with their comings and goings. Absolutely nothing has changed. As I lived happily now, I still live, nothing more.
It has become difficult to pay now, but we still have access to UnionPay cards. We commonly use them here, plus some transactions can be done via cryptocurrencies.
In terms of dining and food, perhaps nothing much has changed. That is, it was McDonald's and became tasty and that's it. Now, instead of Coca-Cola, we drink good cola. Basically, that's it.
The Kremlin claims that Western sanctions have not deterred Russia, but instead triggered an internal mobilization of the economy, adding that last year's economic growth of 3.6% is evidence of this resilience.
That was Mikhail Bardovin reporting from Moscow. To the United Nations, the UN chief says nuclear weapons present a danger to global peace and security. Speaking at the Security Council on Monday, Antonio Guterres said nuclear risks have reached the highest point in decades. Jody Jacobs reports from the UN headquarters in New York.
It was a high-level Security Council meeting convened by Japan to discuss nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation. In his address to the Council, Antonio Guterres said that almost 80 years after the attacks on the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, new nuclear risks have re-emerged and any accidental launch could be catastrophic.
We meet at a time when geopolitical tensions and mistrust have escalated the risk of nuclear warfare to its highest point in decades. The doomsday clock is ticking loudly enough for all to hear. From academics and civil society groups calling for an end to the nuclear madness.
Guterres called on the two largest nuclear weapon states, the US and Russia, to lead the way back to meaningful arms control talks. The US representative told Council members that the global framework that has curbed nuclear armament for years is under increasing strain. China says everyone should commit to a political solution and safeguard the international nuclear non-proliferation regime. The UN says it remains concerned about the risks of the use of nuclear weapons. It urged countries, especially those armed with nuclear weapons, to start re-engaging in dialogue to develop transparency and confidence-building measures to prevent any use of a nuclear weapon, saying nuclear weapon states must also reaffirm the moratoria on nuclear testing in line with the 1996 Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty.
That was Jody Jacobs reporting from New York. Finally, in Africa. In Nigeria, reports say gunmen have kidnapped more than 80 people, including women and children, in Kaduna State. Police confirmed the incident happened in Kajuru Station Village on Sunday night, but did not give the exact figure on how many people were taken. Ajak Mangud has more from Abuja.
Another kidnapping in Kaduna State, as we've seen in the last week or two. And details of this particular kidnapping are still emerging. But according to residents, this happened late on Sunday when the gunmen stormed the community and kidnapped over 80 people from that community. But from what we do understand, they've not made contact to demand a ransom, as we've seen in the previous cases where the government is currently searching for nearly 300 school students who were kidnapped also in Kaduna State. The abductors have demanded a ransom of over $600,000 and are threatening to kill them if their demand is not being met. And this has raised a lot of worry and anxiety for many of the locals in Kaduna State who have sort of lost confidence in the government because they have seen repeatedly that these gunmen come in and take their loved ones, despite the promises by the government and security forces saying, assuring them that the government was working to ensure the safe return of their children. And so there's a lot of worry, there's a lot of distrust in what the government is doing to ensure security. And we've seen security experts saying that most of these areas where these kidnappings take place are largely without government presence, or there's no police stations or military stations in those areas. And so many of them are calling for more security presence to stop this sort of attacks from happening in the future.
That was Ajak Mangud reporting on the latest kidnapping incident in Nigeria. Recapping today's headlines. An Israeli delegation has arrived in Qatar for another round of talks on a ceasefire in Gaza. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the needs of his country's armed forces are quite obvious. And the UN chief says nuclear weapons endanger global peace and security. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports, and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tian Yu. Thank you for listening.